Jim was at the laundromat when he heard. His ear said, "Maracas, senor," but his nose said, "Hey, freshest scent ever." Following his nose, Jim found a man pouring scent beads into the washer. The scent, the freshness. Jim blurted, "Sir, your scent maracas smell amazing." You could call them scent maracas, but most noses call them gain scent beads. Try gain scent beads, way fresher than detergent alone.
Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
Alrighty, we are back, and we're going to pick it up where we left off here with General Flynn. And, go ahead and take it away.
You know, Biden was in charge of anything because one of the things that I'm going to take on with a group of people is going after these 8,000 pardons that they did, you know, to see if the man was even clear-headed when he signed off on them. If he wasn't, then that's a different story. So what's happening is inside the bureaucracy, there's a lot of sort of, you know, deception going on within the deep state. And I will keep saying this, Alex, that had President Trump not won this election, he'd be in prison right now for the rest of his life. As much as President Trump is trying to be benevolent and he's trying to make sure that he's working across the aisles, he's trying to work with these people and trying to get our country back up to where we are the world leader again, because the Chinese are all over the map right now. And the Chinese have infiltrated into our country, because I do, you know, in some of the time that I have today, I want to speak to Panama, because Secretary of State Rubio is going down there. So I do want to speak to the Panama Canal, because, you know, I've been talking about the Panama Canal for years and the importance of it. So for your audience and for the people that will follow this, there are elements, and particularly the White House, those that listen to this broadcast, there are organizations inside of the United States government right now in the executive branch of the United States government that were the offices of DEI. And they sometimes they call them the Office of Talent or Talent Management. Clearly, they're underneath the Human Resources Directorates. Those offices are just they're shifting and changing names. The people are still going to be in there. They're going to lay low. They're going to stay quiet. They're going to, you know, provide white papers as to what they cannot do. Back up the chain of command. These are large organizations. You need to know. The people that are taking over these agencies, these activities, these departments, particularly at the secretary level, they need to know that they are up against the clock, and we're up against a body of people that have been so embedded. One of the reports that I got about a week and a half ago was that we think that there's around 2,000 people that were put into the government in different departments that have been put into different, you know, components of the different departments, about 2,000 that are both tied to Obama, because Obama is still the guy. Okay. Don't mistake anything. This is not a transition from the Biden administration. Obama was running the Biden administration for years. You know, I mean, since actually Obama was in charge of the takedown of President Trump 45, and Obama has been running the
I mean, let's be clear, General. You're talking about stay behind networks that when they were officially still, you know, in charge.
I've been told as many as 2,000. That's right. Stay behind networks, infiltrators into the government to basically block and tackle. So strategically block and tackle and to undermine the, in this case, President Trump, and to do everything that they can. And these are trained activists inside of the government. They are now in government positions, so they're not in appointed positions where you can go in and just immediately remove them. And I do believe the kinds of things that we're seeing Trump do is a complete reformation of the civil service system. He also has the full authority. The President of the United States has the full authority to remove every senior executive, every senior intelligence executive, every defense intelligence executive. Those are called DISLs. It's an acronym for them, D-I-S-L. He can remove every HQE, which is a highly qualified expert that came in under the Biden administration. And in fact, anybody that was hired post the election, all of those have a grace period where they sort of in a testing period whether they're worthy or not, whether they're able to stay in. All of those should be put on hold, and all those individuals, in many cases, especially the ones that were more senior, that were put into specific positions, they're going to need to be removed. They should be told, thank you, you're going to go home. We're not going to continue with your hiring action.
And General, we also saw the Inspector General of the one of the big agencies, the USDA, refusing to leave and having been removed. Trump's, as you know, already fired. He's already fired some of the people also that where they just changed the name of the offices. But these are spy networks. These are illegitimate. These are disruptors. They will also not just leak, but leak fake information, but mix it in with information they're able to get to make it look real. These are saboteurs. And if we're going to be successful, they've got to be completely purged.
Yeah. So, you know, I was listening to Kash Patel's great testimony yesterday, basically. It was great confirmation. And Kash, you know, I would expect him to be, you know, in the seat here, hopefully by the COB today, by the close of business today, so he can get to work in the FBI. But one of the things that I am convinced of, and I know some of the areas, and we've already started to do some work on this, but we have a significant. This is kind of what you're getting at here, Alex. We have a significant counterintelligence and espionage program going on inside of the federal government. Some of that is also over in Congress, and clearly it's some of it affects the judiciary of our country, but we definitely have it in the executive branch. A counterintelligence, meaning spies that are adversarial in nature, or espionage, meaning people that are conducting subversion, and some form of treason inside of our government right now. So, we know that when we say the left or the Democrat Party, this is really a Marxist movement inside the United States of America, and has been going on for a long time.
Even and General, just to interrupt you because you're dead on. None of this is your opinion. We know about Crossfire Hurricane, that you and others were illegally targeted, which Obama was running. Now we're learning about a bunch of other ones. This just broke because the head of the Intelligence Committee brought it out. Arctic Frost, the FBI, directly under orders of Obama, day one targeting you, Trump, and everybody else, and ongoing for years. This is criminal.
Extensively and, you know, and in depth and expertly for your audience. So, you know, this audience knows that. But this movement has not dissipated. All they do, like good little Marxists do, they basically subvert into the within the government, in our case, into the executive branch principally, and they go into kind of a covert level, and they begin to run operations covertly at a sort of leadership level for them. Obama is still in the mix. People like John Brennan still in the mix. People like Jim Clapper. Those are the names that we know. The 51, right? The 51 that had their clearances suspended. It's actually 58 because there's another 7 on that list whose names never were released, and they're going to have to go after them. But these people are still part of what is going on in Washington, D.C. to continue to subvert the ability for Donald Trump to do the things that he's trying to do. And what I want the American people to do, and it goes back to social media, and thank God we have X. As a means to be able to communicate, and we tap into what I call digital soldiers, or what we know as the
it's a major launch pad to develop force multiplication and HUMAT in the general population, which is now happening.
One of the names that doesn't come up all that often is Mike Hayden. Mike Hayden, he's another general, U.S. Air Force. Mike Hayden, former director of the National Security Agency and former director of the Central Intelligence Agency, the intelligence community, which Tulsi Gabbard is going to have, Gabbard is going to have to get in there, and she's going to have to mix it up. But the intelligence community is the fourth branch of government, which is not supposed to be the case. The lead intelligence component within that branch of government is the Central Intelligence Agency. The person that continues to run that organization is John Brennan. I know Ratcliffe is in there now. He's been confirmed. You know, he's starting to mix it up a little bit. But John Brennan is still the sort of, and I've been very public about this, you know, and it comes at risk. But this guy is out there, pointy end of the spear, running the operations, and he is subverting. He's subverting this president as I speak right now, and he knows it.
So by the way, let me just back you up. It's not just you're the former head of the Defense Intelligence Agency, National Security Advisor. I watched Brennan in 2018 and 2019 in meetings on C-SPAN with all the former spy chiefs, and they were addressing him as really the shadow government leader of the resistance. Yeah. I mean, he clearly is the top dog. He's committed so many crimes. I mean, it would take hours. I don't even know about him. Doesn't Trump just, obviously, doesn't Kosh and all the rest of them know, we need to go on offense. These people need to be indicted. That's how we'll shut down their networks, is to cut the head off politically.
Yeah. So, and again, about, back to what I just said about counterintelligence and espionage ongoing inside of our government, inside the executive branch of government, and the and it's happening from the FBI, it's happening from the CIA, and it's actually happening from within side of the Department of Defense. And these are very serious accusations. These are very serious things that I'm saying. And this is where there's going to have to be some time and some effort and some real imagination spent going after these networks, because they're not just one person that, you know, is in a really critical job like, you know, director of operations or something. These are now networks that have been put in place, and it started under Obama. They've strengthened it underneath Biden. They had to get rid of Trump, right? They really had to get rid of Trump. That's why, you know, when you talked about at the beginning, you know, a little over 4 years ago when we first met and we talked about, you know, what we are going to have to do in these past 4 years to work our tails off. You know, I've been to, I think it's close to over 400 towns and cities in this country over the last 4 years, trying to, you know, wake people up, to get them to understand this is not just Democrats versus Republicans anymore. These are two competing ideologies. And whether or not we're going to continue to have the United States of America, you know, under this beautiful thing we call the Constitution. And we can do that, but we have to recognize that President Trump is one man. He's going to have competing priorities every single day. We just saw this deadly tragedy of the aircraft getting hit by this helicopter, you know, the other night. Those kinds of things pop up. It immediately takes the attention away from what you need to, you know, you need to be doing, but it takes time. And it's sad, the tragic, you know, and the souls that were sadly killed. But I don't know, you know, more will come out of this, but on that specific tragic incident, I felt immediately that something was not right. And I think that we're going to continue to find out more and more about what's going on with this particular event, because I've been on that helicopter many times. I've been up and down that, you know, the Potomac many times. My office as the head of the Defense Intelligence Agency is directly across from Pattern 33, which is the flight pattern that comes in there. I mean, I've seen those kinds of occurrences.
And that would be, you only have limited time. You can stay longer if you can, but I know you're very busy. If you want to spend time on that and stay longer, I understand we only have about 6-7 minutes left, and there's so much to hit. Bottom line here, what you're saying is not your opinion. They bragged about it. It came out in the news that Obama had stay behind networks. They're still there. Trump must remove them, or they will continue to engage in all sorts of sabotage. I mean,
this is not going to end. This is not going to end. And every time something comes out, so we can put, you know, Kash Patel, Pam Bondi, Pete Hegseth, Tulsi, we can put all these people at the heads of these organizations, but these are large organizations. And the heads of those organizations, they need to take action, not wait for a 100-day plan. We need to start taking action against these civilian and some cases military, but mainly civilian networks that exist inside of the bureaucracy, and they need to be gutted. They really need to be gutted. Pete Hegseth was correct on his confirmation hearing when he talked about, you know, 40 some odd four stars, you know, when our military, you know, still needs to be raised back up to a higher standard. And, you know, and at the end of World War II, where we had, you know, tens of millions under arms, we only had, I think, 7 4-stars. So there's an imbalance, and Pete knows that. When we talk about the civilian structure, there is an imbalance, and Pete's going to have to take care of that. And a lot of that is not just the imbalance of the force structure, it's the type of people that are in there. It's this cultural Marxism that has infiltrated into our country. And here's where I want to jump in the time that I have left, if you don't mind.
Yes,
China.
Sir.
Because I want to talk about China. China's irregular warfare, and you've talked about this a lot, and I actually had the you know, privilege, whatever you want to call it. I met the two colonels, the two Chinese colonels in the late 90s who wrote the irregular warfare manual. The Chinese are executing that manual. They are in tune. And this has been 25 years of execution by the Chinese here inside of the United States of America. It's destroy our education, you know, continue to really infiltrate into this country, but destroy our education system, destroy our healthcare system, you know, go after the raising of crime on our streets, you know, the cartels that they are working with. So these are all the kinds of things that the Chinese have been doing. And at the same time, the Chinese have been infiltrating into the executive branch of this of our government. And they have people not only in the institutions of higher education, but they have people inside of the institutions of our government, Congress, the judiciary, and clearly the executive branch. And I'm not talking about, you know, Chinese that are on the job, although there are a few examples.
We mean people, certified communist Chinese agents.
Exactly. People that have, you know, sold their soul to the Chinese. Okay. Now let's jump to Panama, because this is very critical, because we got Greenland. You know, we Trump is so right. Trump is so right, as he is setting the stage to protect America from something that you know, that we don't want to imagine, which is a potential world.
But he knows China has openly geared up, and Xi Jinping last year said, prepare for imminent war. Trump is making the correct moves for Fortress America.
Yeah. If the Chinese do not believe they can accomplish this without firing a shot, which is one of their goals, which is their main goal, right, accomplish the takeover of the United States of America through people like Obama, through people like some of the others that I mentioned, and working with them, then it's to surround us, okay? Now, Secretary of State Rubio is so correct, and I think he said it last night or the day before, you know, in his analysis of what's going on in Panama. So Panama is the most vital waterway in the world for the United States of America. 70% of our trade goes through there. You know, the Chinese
dominate. It's also a land bridge for the UN NGO invasions of illegals.
It's huge. And one of the things, if you pay very close attention, which I have been doing, to the various consulates and embassies down in the Caribbean, okay? So it's not just Cuba. You know, Cuba's there. And, of course, Trump put them back on the state sponsor of terrorists. But it's also other Caribbean nations where the Chinese have started to come into and to take over. And there's some very, very serious components of the Chinese military and Chinese intelligence services that have taken over the Caribbean. So you have the Caribbean, you have Mexico, which they control. Mexico is run by a communist leader right now. And there's going to have to be a lot of, you know, sort of coming to Jesus between Trump and that president down there. You've got the Panama Canal. And then you have a whole series of other countries. Colombia, we saw what the Colombian president did, and they backed up a little bit, but they're not done, you know, fighting us.
Yeah, and then Trump's not just flexing our muscles for no reason. We're surrounded.
Exactly. So what, and I've been painting this picture for more than 10 years, actually, and it's the growth of the Chinese in the Southern Hemisphere. So as long as we're distracted, and this is on purpose in many cases, as long as we're distracted with all of the craziness in the Middle East, Central Asia, which is Pakistan, Afghanistan, you know, Eastern Europe, which that war in Eastern Europe, we should not put another penny to that war.
And just as you told Obama, which he actually listened to because you were proven right, pivot to China.
Exactly. Now
we've got to understand pivoting to China means pivoting to our own hemisphere. I know you've got to go, but I want you to finish this. We got a 2-minute break. Can you do 5 more minutes on this and any other advice to Trump, the American people?
I will. Yes, sir. Absolutely.
All right, great. FlynnMovie.com. See your incredible documentary. It's amazing. I watched it twice. FlynnMovie.com. In 2 minutes, with 5 more precious minutes with General Flynn, and that will be announcing the American people can do. And then I was talking to you during the break. I said, what are you worried about? And you said, well, you can say it in your own words, that we get too euphoric like 8 years ago, and people don't realize this is existential still. It's ours to lose. General Flynn, 4 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, what I want people to understand is that, you know, we have a beautiful country. We have a great leader right now in President Trump. We had to work hard. Everybody knows we had to work very hard to get him back into office. Every single American pulled together that made a difference. And we should feel good about what we were able to do, because we defeated a coup attempt. And it's without doubt. So we defeated that. Trump was able to withstand the body blows when he was, you know, president 45. And thank God that he had the wherewithal and the strength to say, once again, I'm going to put myself back into the fire, and I'm going to try, and I'm going to run again. And we won. Right. And the American people, we should feel rightly, you know, euphoric, as you use that word. But here's where I'm at. Where I'm at is that this is a complete, you know, we have to be disciplined. We have to understand that in order to maintain this beautiful country of ours, it's going to require sacrifice. And everybody needs to know that there's competing ideologies. Communism has always been at our front door. But now what we have is we have this Marxist ideology. When we say the left and the Democrats, it's Marxism, and it's Marxism inside of our government, principally inside of our government. We know that they're in the institutions of the country, education and the corporate world with all this DEI stuff, which is another way to infiltrate into, you know, the culture that we have here, you know, our culture of patriotism. So what I want people to know is that we all still have a responsibility. And I will go back to my, you know, my sort of call, which is local action equals a national impact. So we are going to, you know, we want Donald Trump to do all the things that he said he needs to do in order to get control of the executive branch of government. I do want him to really take a hard look at his authorities to be able to remove people that need to be removed and to be able to reduce the size of the executive branch. And that's what the whole DOGE thing is about. And we need to start to see some of that here in the next couple of days, the next couple of weeks, to see what kind of impact that's going to have. And frankly, that's accountability. I want, you know, when I say I want, it's really in a collective sense, because I tell you, I get cards and letters every single day. And my going around this country over the last couple of weeks, what people want in this country is they want accountability of those who have committed these treasonous acts and tried to subvert our nation. And many of these people are still around. It's one thing to just say, suspend these clearances of these 51. It's actually 58. It's one thing to say that. Now what we have to do is we have to go after some of these people who continue to subvert this administration, because they're still involved in companies and activities, and they still have these networks inside of the government. And those people inside of the government, I can tell you, some of them are being told, go to ground, let's act appropriately for now.
Play possum.
And then what we're gonna do is we're gonna come back up and we're gonna rise again. And they're gonna do this. So they're not gone. I want folks to know that the Chinese have a big, big role in all of this. The Chinese government has a huge role. So I know we're getting ready to go to break, and I do have to go. I appreciate it, Alex. I want people to continue to keep the pressure on. Keep the pressure on this president. He loves it. He needs it. And he wants to do the right thing for this country. I know that.
All righty, we are back. Okay. There you go. And you know what? Just about everything he said, we've been saying here for years. As soon as Trump was in office in 2016 or 17, we told people that Obama had not gone away. He was still there, just a couple blocks from the White House. He had his headquarters set up, and they're still there. The deep state's still there. But a lot of them are in total disorientation. I mean, they're confused. You had the screamers out here today, and they still don't get it. I mean, they really don't get it, because you're not going to believe one of the things, Kyle, that they're going to work to gain back power. You're not going to believe this, right? One of the things that they're going to continue to pursue is to rally around sex changes for children.
So now, pedophiles.
How much good has that done them?
It's done them no good.
Okay. It's like they're whatever it is that can destroy them, they go for it. Okay. And that is definitely, you know, within the confines of a reprobate mind. Okay. That they have. It's unbelievable. And so anyhow, Department of DOGE is probing the Department of Education. And so Trump wants Linda, the woman he appointed there, to work herself out of a job to dismantle the Department of Education. Boy, are they going to find a lot of corruption in the Department of Education. Do you know why that is?
That's because it's a giant money laundering scheme, essentially.
Yeah, well, they've been in bed with the NEA, which is a communist organization, but it's the country's largest corrupt union, and they've been in bed with them. And boy, look, and you're going to find people like Pocahontas and others involved up to their eyeballs in all of this. Like today, it's an interesting thing. Bill Cassidy, remember, he was the lone holdout. He was threatening to stop the confirmation of RFK Jr. And so he got so many phone calls. Last night we put that out over the air, to call. Well, he caved today, but do you know how much money he received from the big pharma?
What's that?
$12,306,079. So do you wonder why he was so against RFK Jr.?
Right.
Okay. All of these people on that, you know, Bernie Sanders was one of them that received, the old number we had was $1,953,613, but now that's been revised up to $5 million from Big Pharma. Boy, you didn't hear about that. And Mitch McConnell, the last number we had on him was $2,027,732 from Big Pharma. You know, and down that whole line, going down the line, Joe Obama Biden. The last number we had with Joe Biden when he was a senator received $9,128,291. You can bet that's gone up about tenfold since then, huh?
Right. I think it's the interesting part is, you know, the left wants to complain about all these tariffs now and that everything's going to go skyrocket in price. Where do you think the other agencies are going to make up for this? That's the whole point of the Department of Government Efficiency is finding these areas where we're wasting this money. We're not. It's going to balance out in the long run regardless.
Well, you know, I guess if you want to call it wasting this money because, you know, the USAID, they gave about several million to DEI to preach DEI in Serbia. They gave $32,000 for transgender studies in Peru. $32,000, right? But here's the big one, right? They gave $300 million to Afghanistan. And do you know what the money went to? Okay. It went to nothing. They didn't do anything with it. They were supposed to. That was supposed to convert them over for like teachings of the West, and it was just. They probably spent it on weapons.
This is the USAID.
Yeah,
they USAID. Also sent $39.8 billion to Ukraine.
Yeah, but not only that, they gave a whole lot of money for a fashion week in Paris, and so. Those are just some of the things that they gave. Also, they gave, $15 million for condoms in the Gaza. And they were talking about that tonight, again, out there, to make bombs, using condoms to make bombs. And now they're saying, well, that report wasn't true, but now they've come out again and said, now, again, it is true. So, but I mean, I wouldn't doubt it a bit. Now, if you think all this is bad, think about what the military has done with their budget. Think about what the Pentagon, we're going to find out, but it's going to, folks, it'll just steam you. You see, USAID is giving money to, their actual policy was not to turn down anything, but now Trump is on to this. He said he wants to know, he wants a search into the kickbacks. Remember what we were talking about here when I was telling people how much of that money got kicked back? The way they do it, all these organizations, those people that work there, USAID, they tell these people that they know, look, if you apply, you get a loan, and I'll make sure you get that loan, but, like, I want 10% back. I want, if you give them $30 million, $3 million is not a bad amount of money, is it?
Right.
And if you get in a case like they did with here with Afghanistan, it might take more than one person to push that through. But 10% of $300 million, that's $30 million. That's a lot of money, even if you split that up. So
everyone's getting a nice payday.
Yeah. So they're giving money to everybody except for the taxpayers, who the money belongs to, huh?
Right.
And, they also gave a huge amount to funding LGBTQ in other countries, and more than one. Okay, we're up against the break. We'll be right back.
Now you've heard the story about the King of Kings, who was born of a virgin and above all things. Yes, he was, and he wasn't, and he is, and he's yet to come. And how he went to the desert and was tempted thrice by the serpent, who was Satan and the father of lies. How he did all the things that he did, 'cause he was Yahweh's own son. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. So they hung him from a tree till he was crucified. Then they carried him and buried him in a tomb 3 days and three nights long. And with a bang and a clang and a great big boom, the angel removed the stone from the tomb. And when they all went looking inside, well, Jesus, he was gone. And now you know there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. The Father calls it for the Son to be redeemed. When you're resurrected from the grave, you leave no deposit. Yes, there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. Now as the Spirit moved and the church caught fire and the gospel spread through the Roman Empire, that old devil's old world order was turned upside down. It seemed the more that he martyred and he crucified, the more the Holy Ghost of Jesus Christ was multiplied, until the gospel of the saving grace of Christ was finally spread the world around. All because there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. The Father had caused it for the Son to be redeemed. When you're resurrected from the grave, you leave no deposit. Yes, there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. Now the Muslims say it's down to Allah bow. The Hindus pray they'll come back as a cow. The Orientals say only Buddha's the way. But what are they gonna say on Resurrection Day? Now the world's got leaders that are trying to lead, but the truth of the matter is they're all deceived, 'cause they've all got secrets in their past they're trying to hide. So when Satan steps up to make his deals, he threatens to tell all the other big wheels, so they all conspire together to save their own hides. But you know there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. The Father had caused it for the Son to be redeemed. When you're resurrected from the grave, you leave no deposit. Yes, there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. Yes, there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet.
That's right. There ain't no skeletons in Jesus' closet. And you know what that means? It means you Democrats, Chucky Schumer, you and those screaming banshee women out there, you're in real trouble. Real trouble. You better repent. You better repent, Chucky, or perish. Anyhow, Pastor Hal is going to be with us. He is about to just overwhelm us with astonishing new revelation. So, Pastor Hal, you're in the air.
Well, Pastor, you know, the Bible says in Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And to say that the Biden administration was an administration of sin would be an understatement. We're fighting a spiritual battle, and the Marxism and the one world order that they're trying to bring into this country through the United Nations is purely satanic. And the one world government that's going to be here when the Antichrist is here is going to be the United Nations. They're going to be running the show with the Antichrist running them. And everything the Democrat Party has done has been under the orders of the United Nations. And they're totally communistic and working with the communist government, too, because the United Nations and the enemies of this country hate our sovereignty. Years ago, the United Nations tried to put their patches on American military uniforms, and the real strong men of God and patriots back then fought it and won. But the thing is, the United Nations has always wanted to take over this country and turn it into a moral cesspool. Because they know one thing, when a country's morals go down the tubes, that country goes down the tubes. This country was founded on three things. Their laws were founded on Old English law, the Bible, and common sense. And when they kicked the Bible out of the schools and everything back in the 60s, which again was Democrats doing it then, they opened up the door for moral depravity to come in, and Marxism, Satanism, and everything like that, to brainwash our children. The Department of Education turned into the Department of Moral Depravity, and that's why, you know, the kids that are going to school now, whether high school or college and everything, they're just getting dumbed down and programmed to fight against their own, you know, country and against their own salvation. And it's a spiritual battle that's going on out there, because communism is nothing more than the political Satanism. And we as people, as Christians especially, we need to pray to God that God yank these communists and these Satanists and these witches and everything that have taken over our politics, yank them out of this country like a bad weed, yank them out of the politics like a bad weed. Prayer works, but we need to get on our knees and pray to God and ask him to do a real house cleansing and to back up President Trump and have Trump be guided strictly by God's Holy Spirit. And follow the Lord's direction, and this country will really rise to greatness again. But we need to have Jesus Christ at the very center of everything. And so that's just what I wanted to say. And let me know when you want me to give the plan of salvation and everything.
All righty, we will do that. Do you know that the the Dems are reviving their plan, their dumb plan of misinformation? Is what they call their misinformation fight plan. So their plan is to fact-check Republicans. Now, this has always backfired on them. Every time they've done this, they got caught. It came back on top of them. And so now they're coming up with unbelievable the things that their new programs that they're going to use to try to gain control again. And the other one we talked about earlier is one of their stands they want to take is to promote sex changes for children. How has that worked out for them? These folks are crazy. But now the young Democratic Party, they're saying that they are going to get mean. They're going to get mean and be cruel to counter the young Republicans that are mean. Does that make a lot of sense to you?
No, since they're following Satan and everything, it does make sense in a way, because they're out to destroy this country and destroy everybody in it. They want to make this whole country a bankrupt, third-rate, UN-controlled police state, communist police state, and that's what they're working for. And the people just need to wake up, and I think they're doing that all across the country and everything, and not falling for the lies of the rhinos out there. The rhinos are nothing but Democrats disguised as Republicans. They're traitors, both to their own political party and to this country. And we've just got to pray and ask God to take over and take control and get rid of.
We got to get them primaried. We got to get them out of there. McConnell's going. He said he's going, and what's his name is not going to run again. They're from Utah. Mitch. The Senator Mitt Romney. That's who I'm trying to think about. He's He said he's not going to run again. So that's two rhinos that'll be gone. But we got to get rid of all of them because they stick it to you in the back. You know, they'll always betray you. Okay, and the Collins, that's Susan.
From China to be traitors to this country too. That's
Susan Collins and Murkowski. They always vote with the Democrats.
Right. Yeah.
Now, one thing I had said earlier, but I made a mistake when I talked about Pam Bondi was confirmed today, and I had said that she didn't get one single Democrat vote. She got one. Fetterman, John Fetterman from Pennsylvania, he voted for her. And so the vote was 54 to 46. And so she's going to get right to work, I think. I really do. I've got a lot of confidence in that woman because of her past. And, you know, like I said, what they tried to do to her, and they, Antifa and that surrounded her there in Florida one time when they were yelling, go out and, who was it that, the woman, the one screamer who was telling Congresswoman to go out in a restaurant, confront them, confront their families, and go out in a gasoline station and confront them. The one that threatened to take out President Trump. She said she was, that woman, that's a threat on the President of the United States. She said.
It was a black woman with glasses, but I can't remember her name and everything, but she's just totally Looney Tunes.
Yeah, I mean, so now, I'm hoping that they, you know, because see, a threat on a president like that, I don't think there's a statute of limitations on that. I'm not sure, but anyhow, so here, by the way, did you know that they spent millions of dollars, this USAID spent millions of dollars in Haiti? Do you know what they spent it for?
No,
either do I. Notice anybody. They can't find out. They've got no record. They don't know where the millions of dollars went, but it was just sent to Haiti.
Yeah, didn't they say the Clintons kept a lot of the money that they raised for Haiti, and then they found out the Clintons kept
them? Yeah, they only gave 3% the money that they raised. It went to Haiti. The rest went to the Clinton Foundation. And, boy, I'm going to tell you, the people in Haiti were furious. So,
you can't blame them there.
It's the CIA today offered buyouts for the entire agency, for everyone in the entire agency from top to bottom was offered a buyout. Take it. And that is good because they need to start the CIA from all the way over again. And by the way, that John Brennan, and we told people about this before, he was still running the CIA. They had those that were the stay behind group, and so he was still running it. They got to weed those people out of there. They got to weed them out, get them out of there. Okay, and so anyhow, that's some of what is going on. But I still have to laugh when I think about AOC calling Elon Musk one dumb dude. Can you hear this?
Yeah.
Now, she's calling the guy out there that builds rockets and things. She's calling him a dumb dude. They keep saying he's the richest man in the world, but he's not. We know that you have the Rockefellers and others that are much wealthier, but they've got it set up to where no one can find out just how much they're worth. But anyhow, here, she's calling him one dumb dude, right? Do you know what she drives? She drives a Tesla. So, you know, that's an amazing thing, isn't it?
Right.
All righty. Well, you've got about 7 minutes to tell the folks out there all across the country how they can avoid that burning lake of fire. Now they can get to glory. That's because Everything that we've talked about here tonight, except for the Bible study, will be forgotten someday. It all will be. It won't be relevant. It just will not. But the one thing that will be relevant is what you're about to do, okay?
Well, because I tell people, the Bible lets us know that God loves you, but he hates your sins. And God wants you to come to heaven, but he says your sins cannot come with you. God hates sin. No matter how much he loves you, he cannot let you come into heaven with your stinking sins. Because sin, it's like a gangrene in the nose and eyes of God. It stinks, it looks putrid, and you get 800 billion people all bringing their sins into heaven, you know, if he didn't punish sin. And if there was no hell, then heaven wouldn't be heaven very long. It'd be terrible. But the thing is, God had let Jesus Christ go to that cross and transfer your sins onto his son, Jesus, so that when Jesus died on that cross, he said, it is finished. When he shed his blood and was given up his life, he said, it is finished, which means all the work necessary for your redemption and mine has been accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ. But that salvation doesn't become ours automatically. John 1:12 said, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. He also said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And repentance is admitting something to God that he knows already anyway. That without Jesus Christ in our hearts, we're lost and on our road to hell, and that's where we're going to end up unless we turn to the Lord and receive him as our Savior. And Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means if you believe in your heart that Jesus died on that cross and shed his blood to save your soul, and ask him to come into your heart, he's going to do that and bring with him the payment he paid in your place. Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. It's not your good works, your church membership, or some religious leader that can wash away your sins. It's the blood of Jesus Christ, and that's the only thing that can wash away your sins so you can go to heaven. And that's what takes place when you trust Jesus Christ and him only for your salvation. And Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Jesus did all the work necessary for you and me to go to heaven. There's nothing you can do to add to it except by faith come to him, admit that you're unworthy of salvation, admit that you're worthy of hell, and ask God to forgive you of your sins and ask Jesus to come into your heart and give to you that payment he paid through his shed blood for you on that cross. That's the only way. That's God's plan of salvation. And you can, you know, a lot of church leaders out here will say, join our church and follow our rules and earn your way to heaven. That's a bunch of bunk. That's what the devil wants you to think. But if you could quit sinning right now and never sin again the rest of your life, just the sins you've already done would be enough to send you to hell. And so when you come to Christ, he washes away all that sin, past, present, and future, makes you a new creature in Christ, and gives you eternal life. And I'll tell you what, there's nothing, no greater gift that you can get than that right there. And Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. That means you don't go there by Mary, Peter, Paul, your next-door neighbor, anybody else. You go there through Jesus Christ and him only. So if you want to receive God's plan of salvation, then pray this prayer with me right now, because the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's Romans 10:13. That's what's known as the sinner's prayer, and mean it with all your heart. Let's pray. Dear God, please forgive me, a sinner. I believe that you died on that cross and shed your blood for my salvation. And Lord Jesus, I here and now ask you to come into my heart, forgive me for all my sins, and save my soul from hell. Give me eternal life right now, because I believe you and only you can save a soul. And my soul needs saved, needs you in my heart as my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. So folks, if you prayed that prayer just now and meant it, or a prayer like that meant it, God says in 1 John 5:13, these things were written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. Believe on meant that you received him as your Savior, not just know in your head, but you received him as your Savior through prayer and asking him to come into your heart. Why? That you may know, not just think it, wish it, or wonder about it, but be 100% certain that you have eternal life. That's heaven, eternal life. And you know, you can't... God is the one that has promised you this. So you can't lose, you can't be let down, you can't be disappointed, because God cannot lie. And if God makes you a promise, he has to keep it. So that's why I know if I had a massive heart attack right now and dropped dead, I know my soul would be in heaven with Jesus before my body even hit the floor, because the Apostle Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So if you prayed that prayer a few moments ago, you repented in your heart about being a sinner, and you believe Jesus died for you on that cross, and you asked him into your heart, that means according to God and the integrity of his promises, you have eternal life inside of you right now, and nobody can ever take that away from you. You can't lose it. Nobody can steal it from you. God gave it to you, and God's keeping your salvation. So I'll see you in heaven someday. Go ahead, Pastor.
All right, let me ask you a question. You can tell more about a man by, A, his friends, or B, his enemies. What do you think?
Both.
Well,
you can tell a lot about a man, by his enemies. If his enemies are no good, Christ-rejecting heathen, then there must be something good about the guy right there. But then, you know, his friends, if his friends love the Lord and believe the Bible and they're living for the Lord, if that's who his friends are, then you can tell a lot about him because his friends are like.
So is Christ's enemies and our enemies, or are they one of the same today?
Oh, definitely, definitely. If you're part of the body of Christ, Christ's enemies are supposed to be your enemies too, and that's the way it works. It's one and the same. We're supposed to love what God loves and hate what God hates. That's what the Bible says. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. I believe that's Proverbs 8:13. And so, if we don't hate evil, then we don't show much love for the Lord.
There's one book in this whole world that by far, the enemy, and I'm talking about not just the apostate church, the satanic church, the apostate church, the prosperity church, the neo-evangelical church that they hate. What book is that? Are you there?
They hate. What book? Yeah, I'm thinking. All through the Bible, that they're the enemies of Christ and everything.
Well, there's only one Bible. It's called the King James Bible.
Oh, right. I was thinking of you mentioned a minute. Book of the Bible.
That's the one that all of them agree upon that they're all against. Okay, but anyhow,
right.
And
that's God's perfectly preserved words, and that's why they hate it. It's the only one the Holy Spirit uses when the preaching's being done. The others are counterfeit versions, and the Holy Spirit has nothing to do with those.
So for hundreds of years, they've been trying to get rid of it, and the more they try to destroy it, the more people own it. But anyhow, we're out of time for tonight. And so, how much time do I have?
50 seconds.
Okay, it's time that we come to every night at this time. We tell all the folks, thanks for being here with us. Thanks for supporting us out there.
Amen.
And we want to say to all of you out there, have a good night to all of you. And then we want to say, and God bless all of you. And if you're driving in the car, keep your eyes on the wheel, right?
Perfect.
On the road, really, yeah.
On the road, yeah.
And then we say, always, ready?
Always.
Keep fighting the get ready, because we'll do it before Trump did. Fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.